She make it today instead of walking.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on General Government. Today is March 2nd, 2017. Co-chair.
Hi there.
Shall I pass the gavel?
No, please continue. I'm going to be heading off to go testify in a moment.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure you had a quorum.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Today is March 2nd, 2017, and we will be holding a public hearing today on SB 5535, Department of Revenue. It's an agency overview, and we have Nia Ray, director. And with that, Ms. Ray, would you please?
Chair Smith, Chair Manning, members of the committee, Mr. Borden, I'm Nia Ray. I'm the director of the Oregon Department of Revenue. I understand that I don't have a full hour and a half today, that you all have other obligations by 4 o'clock today, so I will do my best to keep this brief, concise, but I will first walk you through the agenda, followed by a few remarks on how my experience with the department has been and an assessment of the department, followed by then the presentation that you have in front of you. With respect to the agenda, day one is the agency overview. I will be providing that today. The second day, which I understand will not follow next week, but the week after, will be an overview, an in-depth overview of our income tax programs, and that will be both the personal income tax and our business income tax programs. Day three will be an overview of our property tax and special programs. Special programs include our cigarette tax programs and our marijuana tax programs. The fourth day will be a presentation by our Administrative Services Division. Sean Waite, who is the director of that division, is here with us today. And also our Information Technology section by Gary Johnson, who's also here with us today. The fifth and final day of phase one of our agenda will be a presentation by Patrick Heath, the Chief Financial Officer and DAS representative. Also public testimony.
So, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to have to leave a little bit early today, but I wanted to share with the Director of Revenue how much I appreciate your effort to work with me as a co-chair and your staff's effort to work with me. And I want you to know my office is always open to you. That was a message I was going to share later today. I probably won't have that chance because I have to go testify. But, Mr. Co-chair, I just wanted to get that on the record very quickly.
Thank you, co-chair.
We've included a second phase in our presentation to the Ways and Means Committee, and these agenda items are issue-specific as opposed to programmatic. Through conversation with many of you and other legislative members, these are issues that predominate our conversation. We hear about these issues, concerns about these issues, and the need for greater explanation of these sometimes complex issues. And they will include the tax gap. The tax gap is the difference between the taxes owed to the state and the taxes collected. Our accounts receivable and collections processes. Collections is a huge issue. Representative Gomberg has frequently suggested that we be clearer about our process of collections, how we do it, and what it really means. Fraud for purposes of...
Senator, Mr. Chair.
Senator Johnson.
I want to, before I say this, to make it perfectly clear that I am following in the path of Representative Gomberg, who has taken this issue on and is really lead, and I'm just singing out of his hymnal. On the issue of debt and debt management, are you in contact with any of your sister agencies or any of DAS or others that would give you any guidance on collections or whether or not debt is written off in the state? how debt is treated. I mean, we have a huge debt problem. And again, I'm following along behind Representative Gomberg, and maybe he'll close in here for the more accurate question. But who are you in consultation with as far as debt management and your uncollectible debt and tax scoff laws?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we are in frequent contact with our sister agencies with respect to our other agency collections. We are statutorily and through agreement responsible for the collection of debt for about 160 of our sister state agencies. So to that degree, we are in contact with them about our collection, a rate of collections for those sister agencies and the way we manage our processes. With respect to the quality of the collections, or if there is any independent or executive body that we confer with regularly that would represent our sister agencies, DAS would probably be the one, the agency that we come in most frequent contact with. And I'll be honest with you, I think I will have to defer to either phase two or someone that will present in the next 2 weeks to give you more information on what those conversations entail.
Okay. One last question. You're a fresh set of eyes, having done this same work in another jurisdiction. You arrive here in Oregon with a fresh set of eyes. And based on your early observations and your 4 months on the job, how are we doing on collections? Do you have thoughts about how we could do this better, faster, smarter, more efficacious?
Chairman, members of the committee, Senator Johnson, we have actually had conversations about that. About 2 months into my tenure as Director of Revenue, we began conversations about consolidating our collections unit to ensure greater accountability, number one. We need to better determine what and how we are collecting. When the collections efforts are dispersed within program areas, sometimes it makes it a bit more difficult to keep track of who's doing what with respect to collections. So that is one avenue that we're pursuing. We're having some fairly significant and in-depth conversations at all levels of departmental leadership and staff about consolidating so that we'll have better answers for you.
Good for you. Hang in there.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'm particularly appreciative that we've scheduled a full period in phase two to discuss this important topic. Could I ask you or the professional staff when we have tentatively scheduled this phase two conversation on these issues?
John?
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the subcommittee, phase two is not fully scheduled yet, but it's going to begin about mid-April or so. We'll start cycling agencies through, so... Representative, was there something in particular? If maybe we can take this conversation offline, but if you have a particular scheduling issue, we can certainly visit about.
No, that. I was just trying to get a sense of when we were going to have this conversation. A brief comment, if I could, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate that we're going to spend some quality time on this fascinating issue. And Senator Johnson had raised some general questions. My understanding is right now we are looking at about $600 million a year in uncollected taxes. I'm fascinated by the fact that in that number we've also written off about $15 million in the last year. Last time I served on this committee, there was evidence that we had a tax gap for fraud of roughly $1 billion. But when we have this phase two conversation, one thing that I don't see on your list, Director, that I hope we can spend some time talking about is the indication under Senate Bill 89 that everybody else's debt is heading your way. And that's a $3 billion load that's going to land on you with a thud. And so I hope that we can add another bullet point saying what you're going to do about everybody else's debt, too.
Mr. Chair, Representative Gomberg, duly noted. And that brings us to our final bullet, which is emerging topics. And we listed that fairly vaguely for that very reason. As you arrive at issues that need greater discussion, that you would like us to expound upon, we will do so under the umbrella of emerging topics. Another emerging topic that we've recently become aware of is the need to shed a bit more light on our KPMs, how we measure what we do, and where we are within the KPM structure.
Senator?
Apropos the last exchange between the director and Representative Gomberg, I would welcome, as the thud hits your agency, your assessment of how many more people you would need to begin to manage that debt, and also your assessment of the timing. So often I'm hearing from agencies, we work it until we think it's dead, and then we do something with it. Mm-hmm. Something remains sort of vague. I don't want it to be, we work it until we think it's dead, and then we send it to revenue. And that somehow you're going to be measured for your inability to squeeze money out of a rock through no fault of your own. If you had a nimble, well-staffed, centrally located collections division, we as a state might profit from that in every way you want to define profit. So I'd like your assessment of what it would take financially for the legislature to invest in those people that are going out and getting money that is due this state.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, do you want that answer today or do
no,
I have enough?
No,
oh, thank you.
No, that's too big a question for today, and I am asking the chair and by extension Mr. Borden whether or not that could be included in phase two.
So John, you want to work on that so that we can make sure that we add that? I think that's very significant conversation that we have to have in lieu of the type of money that's being written off, the debt and stuff, and the challenges that you are facing now because everybody's dumping things off on you and because their lack of ability or inability to collect, and your numbers will look very bad.
Mr. Chair, you used a great term of art, dumping stuff off on you. For the benefit of our new members, there is somewhat of a dumping culture in the state right now. One agency can't perform, we grab a program, we give it to somebody else. And I think we have done that in a somewhat cavalier way, and so I'm largely preaching to the choir and asking a more rhetorical question, that simply moving a program doesn't guarantee that it's going to be executed with more alacrity or more beneficial outcome. And for the dumpees out there in agency land that are listening to this, I hope the dumpees would feel empowered to speak up and say, that's great. If you're going to give revenue this additional assignment, and it's very hard work, this is what I need to discharge it. And so that, at least from one legislator, is an open invitation to say, you're here as a change agent, you're here with fresh eyes, you're here with a proven track record of delivery in your other jurisdiction, and I'm assuming you wouldn't be here if you didn't want to help the state of Oregon. We ought to give you some running room to innovate.
Mr. Chair, Senator, thank you.
Cool, then I got one more emerging topic for you. Mr. Chair, the other day when you were in my office, I gave you a memorandum, and it speaks to the issue of your computer and the new system that we invested so heavily in, speaking with other computers. And I quote from the memorandum, and I'm not surprising you, you have this. Beth informed me that apparently there is a communication error between DCS computer system and the DOR computer system, and that they have not been talking for months. And this is the Division of Child Support. So we had somebody who filed his taxes, checked it out, made sure he was all paid up with child support, filed his taxes, and had revenue grab his return. And so now he's out money. He was reassured that there was a clear pathway with the Division of Child Support. He can't get his money back. He's being, I think, unfairly treated for a guy that is current on his child support. And if these computers won't talk to each other, if you need some legislative horsepower to try to get your reciprocal agencies to talk in this memorandum, and this is a fairly high-powered person, a county employee who's trying to solve this problem for a constituent, can't get the Attorney General's office to answer. So I don't know whether or not you need some legislative assistance to try to help facilitate a two-way dialogue, but I can't imagine that this committee wouldn't give you our full support in trying to motivate others to help work out the problems in this system.
Mr. Chair, Senator, I don't know at this point if that level of interest is warranted, but that doesn't mean that it is not warranted. As you're aware, I was only made aware of that issue yesterday.
Yeah, when I gave it to you.
When you gave it to me. And so I immediately not only worked with my staff to discover the issue and the origins of the issue, but I made contact with the originator of the memorandum to assure them that, you know, as a department, that's not the way we intend to do business. But this is illustrative of modernizing a system. And we have seen, and I'll allude to this again later, we have seen tremendous benefits from our core systems replacement. However, there are times when there are blips on the radar. There are malfunctions. And this appears to be one of those situations. So in order to mitigate that set of circumstances, we are taking an individualized approach to make sure that we rectify the issues as they become, as we become aware of them on behalf of the taxpayer to ensure that they are not unduly burdened. But we have to be made aware of them. And as a director, I have to be made aware of them. So I really appreciated that insight. And we are working diligently to get these systems to communicate once again.
One more fellow. The fact that you took the initiative to close the loop on something that I brought to your attention just dazzles me, and would that all agency heads had that same sense of customer service. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I realize we're on the clock, and I apologize for taking more time, but you know, this is a critical issue, and these folks are on the front lines with the best ability to address it. So when you come back, just as fair warning, one of the questions I will have is that that two sessions ago, this committee approved about 30 new employees for the Department of Revenue with an eye specifically toward addressing the tax gap and uncollected revenues, and I'm most interested to hear whether we were able to find 30 people to fill those 30 positions and what kind of results we got with them. So I just want to get that on the record as we get ready for phase two.
Mr. Chair, Representative, duly noted.
Emerging topics.
Emerging topics. Yes, once again, our emerging topics at this point in time include our KPMs and all of the issues that have been presented during this hearing. Before we move into the PowerPoint, I did prepare a few remarks about my assessment and my experience as the new director of the Department of Revenue. So upon assuming the role of director, I made an initial assessment that the department was in a state of multi-level transition. My start date was in mid-October of last year, and at that time, the state was focused on candidates and revenue-generating measures on the November ballot. Along with the pending statewide transition, the department had experienced a significant change in department leadership with my appointment. I'd replaced a 30-year department veteran as a permanent director. Not only was I foreign to Oregon state government, I was foreign to Oregon, so my perspective and style were and continue to be very different from my predecessors. In addition, the department was in the midst of a major overhaul and modernization of its core systems. It's known as the Core Systems Replacement Project, or CSR. If you're newly elected, you'll hear more about this project in great detail week after next. But for those who are veteran legislators, you have undoubtedly heard reports for the last 3 or 4 years about the CSR project. And for the record, thank you for your support throughout the journey. So not only was the department governance transitioning, but the department's core processes were transitioning. And the department was and still is truly dedicated to the success of this project. They've dedicated significant time, energy, and resources to ensuring that the success of this project remains successful, and it is successful so far. We are seeing some efficiencies and administrative benefits to the implementation. Each phase was completed on schedule and on budget, and one of the most important success metrics, the project hasn't been the top story in any news medium. But now we are moving out of that transitional phase into stabilization. And by the end of this year, we will have implemented the final phase of the project, and our tax systems will be fully converted and modernized. And we will be having a different set of conversations about the CSR project and the direction of the department as a whole. We will have a far clearer understanding of all of the benefits and the shortcomings of the system. I plan to be very transparent about both. This period of stabilization will also allow us to redirect some of the effort and energy placed into CSR back into some of those areas of departmental responsibility that may now need greater attention. For example, we have had some preliminary internal conversations about how our collections efforts are organized and other discussions about how we determine departmental success, how effectively we measure what we do. So as the newest director, I will celebrate our strengths, certainly own our weaknesses, but firmly believe that through appropriate collaboration, we can create a stronger Department of Revenue. Our first slide is who we are, our mission, vision, and values statement. We consider all three of these with every decision we make as a department. In short, the revenue department is responsible for the collection of revenue to fund public services. Public services enhance the lives of Oregonians. So we collect revenue to enhance the lives of Oregonians. So the last two words of our mission statements are the most important. All citizens. We work for the citizens of Oregon. Our next slide is a snapshot of how we're organized as a department. 93% of general revenue comes from our personal and business income tax units. And you'll see Personal Tax and Compliance Division, PTAC, as we affectionately dub it, and our business division. Personal Tax and Compliance Division is responsible for our personal income tax program. Our business division is responsible for our corporate income and excise programs. You'll also see within our business division, withholding and payroll are included within the overview of the business division. While withholding is technically an income tax function, because of the employer connection, it makes more sense from an administrative perspective to house it in the business division. Our administrative services division is the backbone of the department. It provides many of the supportive services to the department. The processing center, the administrative services division processes 2.1 million pieces of mail every year. Our finance and budget department is within the administrative services division, as well as our IT services. And while our IT services is a unit within ASD, the significance and the importance of our IT services unit requires that it has its own director. It's here today, Gary Johnson. To the left of the screen, you see the property tax division. And while the property tax division does not drive general revenue, it does not contribute to general revenue, it certainly contributes greatly to county-level revenue. It contributes through supportive services and valuation. It contributes to the $12.4 billion in local revenue that counties derive each year. Whoops. Again, here is a listing of the Department of Revenue or Department of Revenue's major tax programs. Our income tax programs, both personal income and corporate income taxes, tax programs. In both of those programs, we have two areas of activity that drive the collection of the tax revenue, and that's voluntary compliance, which is pretty straightforward. Taxpayers pay their taxes voluntarily. Roughly 75% of that voluntary compliance is through our withholding program. But overall, people intend to comply with the law and do so voluntarily. When they don't, we move into enforcement phases of our process. Again, property tax is not a general revenue driver. However, it is significantly impacting of our county revenue structures. Finally, our cigarette and other tobacco taxes and our marijuana taxes. Marijuana tax is a very popular tax, newly created program within the state of Oregon. And we'll have more detail about each of this in subsequent slides. The Department of Revenue administers 30 tax programs. So in addition to the five major program, here is an example of other taxes and services that we administer. The forest products, harvest tax, and the small tract timber tax, in addition to the senior and disabled citizens deferral programs, are largely property tax-driven tax programs. Our other agency collections, I mentioned earlier, we have agreements or are statutorily required to collect the debt of roughly 160 of our state agencies. The following slide is an illustration of how each of our tax programs is weighted. As illustrated, personal income tax is a significant contributor to the state's general fund. Corporate tax, cigarette, tobacco, and estate taxes contribute as well. With respect to non-DOR sources, those sources include lottery funds and also liquor taxes. We don't administer the liquor tax program. The Oregon Liquor Control, and I forget what the final C is.
But commission.
Commission administer that tax program. Again, 93% of the general fund is derived from our income tax program. And this slide simply gives you an illustration of the steps taken to actually collect the revenue from each taxpayer. It starts with assistance in education. That assistance in education is administered through, of course, our phone conversations that we have, our call centers. Also, physical outreach, forums and programs. We've completed some withholding education, some withholding forums for employers, for them to more clearly understand the expectations and requirements of withholding tax programs. Also, our Revenue Online portal. Revenue Online is the automation of our online tool. It is the tool that allows our taxpaying citizens to have direct access to the Department of Revenue and through an online presence receive their tax information. And that is a product of our core systems replacement. That is one of the benefits we've derived from that system. Processing and banking, pretty self-explanatory. We receive the return. We receive the payment. We process it. If payment accompanies the return, we bank it. However, if steps 2 and 3 don't occur after assistance in education, we have to enforce their tax liability. And so filing, enforcement, and collections are technically two different animals. Filing enforcement includes notices. It provides notice to the taxpayer that they owe this liability. And so that will be a notice of failure to file, for example, or a notice of assessment, some type of notice of the obligation. And in some cases, we also audit both corporate and individual taxpayers. Finally, steps 1 and 5 don't yield positive results, we enter the collection phase. And we will, again, be discussing more about our collections, who, why, how, and the complexities of our collections formulas. Earlier, I alluded to voluntary compliance being most of our taxpayers being voluntarily compliant. And this chart illustrates that almost 98% of taxpayers are voluntarily paying their tax liability. And we as an agency strive to enhance voluntary compliance whenever possible. The goal is not to get is to avoid collection, is to avoid direct enforcement. So we have definitely provided support to our voluntary compliance activities. Direct enforcement, audits and collections results in $184 million. Dollars that would still need to be collected. That's only 2.4% of taxpayers and tax liability. However, as you've alluded to, that grows. It capitalizes. So we will again have more discussion on collection efforts and how we move forward in that process. Our property tax division is not a contributor to general revenue. However, it is it significantly contributes to the quality of the lives of Oregonians, and it does so through various functions. Statutorily, the property tax division has oversight, supervisory authority over the taxation and assessor obligations within the 36 counties. So as you can see on the top row, there are various functions and obligations that we undertake in order to contribute to that $12.4 billion in revenue that local governors then spend. We have statutory responsibility for valuation of certain properties. One of those properties is the centrally assessed properties within the state. A centrally assessed property would include a utility, railroad company, an electric company, a telecommunications company. We also evaluate industrial properties. And industrial properties are industrial properties that have a real market value in excess of $1 million. But an industrial property is defined, and I hope I don't misquote, but an industrial property is one that is substantially related to manufacturing. In addition to the property valuation obligations, we provide cadastral maps to 9 counties. And a cadastral map is a map that contains boundary and tax assessment information for use by those counties. Other county assistance includes assessor training for new assessors, general information and administrative assistance, and finally, forest land valuation. In a previous slide, we listed several of the other taxes that we administer. Those taxes include the small tract tax and the forest land timber tax. And those, we evaluate certain timber and forest lands for valuation and taxation. So all of these property tax activities lend themselves to county property tax administration, and you know, residential property tax administration is still a local prerogative. We do not play a role in that. However, through all of these functions, the supervisory oversight and the valuation, we do contribute to the $12.4 billion to local government. And the final portion of this slide shows how that $12.4 billion is distributed within the counties. This is another illustration of what we've just discussed. It's the funding of core services, and it shows the state's responsibility through general revenue and the local responsibility through local revenue, and how we meet, how public services are funded, and how much responsibility each of us shares. As you can see in education and public safety, we're almost half and half. So we are greatly reliant on each other to keep the quality of services at an optimal level. The final two slides are concern our cigarette and tobacco taxes and our marijuana tax. And here again, the top row is how we get to the $532 million. That doesn't all go to general revenue. As you see, there's a distribution formula. $133 million of that $532 million goes to the general fund. However, Oregon still benefits in other ways through the distribution formula. And the top row really reiterates the previous slides, the assistance in education, the banking, the processing, the audits. Here we have inspections, and site visits, but it's the same general theme. We provide assistance and education to retailers, to distributors, to ensure that they understand their obligations under the program. We process, bank, and collect. We audit where necessary, and also conduct inspections and site visits to ensure that the requisite level of stamping and provisions are maintained on various sites. My final slide is on the marijuana tax program. And the marijuana tax program, as many of you are probably aware, is one of our newest programs. Recreational marijuana has really only been in effect for the past year. And so because of the nature of this business, largely cash transactions, cash-based business, and because the newness of the program, because the movement from medical to recreational and the accompanying obligations and differences between those two operations, we've had to conduct a significant amount of retailer outreach to ensure compliance. We have partnerships with many of the organizations you see at the bottom, state police, law enforcement, processing, banking, and filing enforcement, which has yielded $6.2 million in revenues between February and December of 2016. There are, as you'll note, there are no distribution amounts attached to this slide because we don't have them yet. The formula for distribution does not kick in until after liquor control is reimbursed for its administrative costs. So we will have more for you in hopefully by the end of the year or beginning of next year. But that when we do distribute, that is that's who will be the recipients of those funds. I don't have a slide on this issue, but I do want to apprise the committee of a few projects that the Department of Revenue has undertaken. We are in the very beginning, very beginning stages of two more modernization projects. One is our property tax division modernization, and the other is our processing center modernization. You will hear more about those in the upcoming weeks. CSR has been a success. Unfortunately, the CSR modernization, there are limitations inherent to upgrading tax systems, income tax systems that would not include our property tax modernization. So unfortunately, we have to incur two different projects in order to modernize property tax. But we did make the inquiry at some point in time to ensure that there was not the ability to modernize both at the same time, but there are limitations there. So we have had to take on another project, but we'll have more for you on that one. And also the processing center. As stated, we process 2.1 million pieces of mail. We provide optical imaging, scanning, and so we need to upgrade those systems to ensure that we are still consistently able to process that level of incoming correspondence. And with that, that concludes my program. I was under the impression that I did not have a lot of time, so I have not prepared beyond that. But if there are any questions, I am here.
Okay. Excellent. Committee, any questions of the director this time? No questions. Excellent presentation. I think the committee is excited to have you on board with your innovative insight and the directions that you see is best going to benefit the people of Oregon in terms of collecting revenues and generate more revenues. It's a shame that I guess we're all kind of drinking from a fire hose, so to speak. I tell people I swallowed the entire hydrant, and looks like this might be what you're doing at this point, too. But we do appreciate that. And Steph?
Mr. Co-Chair and members of the subcommittee, I just would like to, if it's all right, talk to you about next week a little bit.
We're done. I don't want to keep you sitting at the table and stuff. But thank you again for your presentation.
Hey, would you like to close the
We'll close out the public hearing on Senate Bill 5535 and turn over staff for some information.
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the subcommittee, we've had a change in schedule for next week. Originally, the department was going to continue for 4 days with their presentation, but we've had to move them to the out week, and PERS will be here next week. Great. And they will do a system overview on Monday, and then they will spend Tuesday and Wednesday talking about their agency operations, and then on Thursday will be a work session for their statutorily required earnings crediting report, and then public testimony. So, and then the following week, the director and her agency will be back for that full week. So, thank you, Mr. Coacher.
Thank you. Are there any other questions, any comments from the committee? If no further comments from the committee, we're good over there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, if there's no follow-up, then what I would like to do is I will adjourn today's committee meeting, and we will reconvene on Monday at 1500 hours, 3:00 for civilians. We are adjourned.
Oh, perfect timing.
We are adjourned.
Oh, perfect timing.